Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Kinsey Thompson.
And I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Construction has begun at the site of App Harvest's new 60-acre greenhouse in Round County.
Moorhead State University is hosting a camp for blind or visually impaired high school students.
MSU's education department received national accreditation.
A traffic stop in Rowan County led to a six-person drug bust.
In sports, the Vikings and the Kittens advanced to the Elite Eight.
Taking a look at your region's weather for tonight, some clouds, lows around 53 degrees. Tuesday, some sun in the morning with increasing clouds during the afternoon, highs around 83 degrees. Tuesday night, mainly cloudy, a stray shower or thunderstorm is possible, lows near 65. And on Wednesday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, then mainly cloudy during the afternoon with thunderstorms likely, potential for severe thunderstorms, highs around 81, with a chance of rain at 80%.
Construction on the new App Harvest facility in Round County has begun. The company plans to build some of America's largest greenhouses, combining conventional agriculture techniques with today's technology to grow non-GMO, chemical-free produce. App Harvest founder and CEO Jonathan Webb says building begins with their contractor, Walker Construction.
They'll be doing work the next couple of months, and then in the fall, Dalsum, our greenhouse builder, will be on site working to construct the facility, and then the plan is to be operational and fully operational by the back half of 2020.
The 60-acre greenhouse will produce tomatoes and is expected to cost around $85 million.
Moorhead State University will host the 13th annual Insight Camp for blind or visually impaired high school students. Insight is a post-secondary preparation program designed to help college-bound high school students gain real-world college experience. They will live in dorms, learn how to navigate their way around campus, and sit in on summer classes. MSU's Disability Services Coordinator Evangeline Day says MSU has hosted Insight since its existence.
It does have a lot to do with the accessibility of our physical campus. It's a compliment to us, really, that they choose us because, you know, again, students come to this from Western Kentucky, and a couple of the sponsors are out of Louisville. So, you know, the fact that they choose Moorhead State every single year is a big compliment.
Day says being selected to host every year shows the university is being attentive to the needs of the visually impaired and works to improve accessibility each year. The camp begins on June 8th and continues through June 15th.
The Council for the Accreditation of Educator Preparation named Moorhead State University as one of 42 providers from 23 states in the District of Columbia to receive accreditation for educator preparation programs. The spring 2019 review by the CAEP resulted in 42 newly accredited programs, bringing the total to 238 providers approved teacher preparation standards. Dr. Christopher Miller is the dean of the College of Education at MSU. He says the accreditation helps ensure the teachers they mold have the best possible education.
The purpose of that is to help programs ensure that they're meeting established quality standards for teacher preparation.
Accreditation lasts 7 years, and MSU's next site visit will be in 2025. MSU was previously accredited through National Council for Accreditation of Teacher Education, an accreditation it maintained for more than 20 years.
A traffic stop in Rowan County led to a six-person drug bust. A Kentucky State Trooper pulled over 56-year-old Daniel Bowling of Sandy Hook along Interstate I-64 on Saturday. LEX18 reports following a canine search of the vehicle by Moorhead Police, 95 grams of suspected cocaine, a firearm, and more than $7,000 were seized. Investigators received further information about possible drug trafficking, which led them to execute a search warrant at a home in Rowan County, resulting in five arrests. 36-year-old Dominic Adams of Detroit, 49-year-old Moses Wright of Fort Wayne, Indiana, 32-year-old Andre Hall of Detroit, 27-year-old Lakin Moore and 40-year-old Thomas Wallace, both of Moorhead, are lodged in the Rowan County Detention Center on several drug-related charges. Bowling was cited and released for careless driving. The case remains under investigation by Kentucky State Police.
Two people are safe following a house fire in Bath County this morning. The fire started around 5 a.m. on Saltwell Road near the Bath-Montgomery County line. Blake Collette tells WKYT he woke up to his dog licking him on the face. That's when he noticed smoke in the house. Colette said he rushed to his 17-year-old daughter's room and both managed to get outside with their dogs. No one was hurt, but the home and garage are a total loss.
The man who killed a Lexington police officer 9 years ago has been released from prison after serving less than half his sentence. WKYT reports 42-year-old Glenn Donaghy was convicted of second-degree manslaughter when he ran his SUV into Lexington police officer Brian Derman in 2010. Donaghy was sentenced 20 years in 2011. The Kentucky Department of Corrections now lists Donaghy as out of custody on mandatory reentry supervision. Friends of Derman's gathered at the Lexington Fallen Officer Memorial Wednesday to remember him. Retired Officer Ricky Lynn says coming together every year makes grieving easier.
It's still hard for him, and it's nice to come out and have some camaraderie with other officers just to talk.
Family members of Derman reportedly weren't notified prior to Donaghy's release. The Kentucky Peace Officers Association released a statement on Facebook saying the Derman family needs support from the community and laws about notifications need to change.
A Lexington group is trying to help families of murder victims to get through the grieving process. According to WKYT, sisters and supporters working against gun violence hosted the first annual I Still Live Gala to help provide services to families. Tanya Lindsay started SWAG in 2013 in memory of her 16-year-old son who was shot and killed by his half-brother.
In my belief, in order for it to be successful, we have to get everybody on board. There's communities, there's family, there's local, social, there's local, state, government. We have to get everybody on board. And so I'm hoping that by numbers and stories and networking that we can overcome and break the cycle so we can start to heal and keep the gun violence rate down.
Lindsay's organization offers emergency services for families like a safe place to stay and condolence baskets. Lindsay hopes to make the gala an annual event.
To pay respects to the victims of the Virginia Beach shooting, Governor Matt Bevin has ordered both American and state flags. WYMT reports the governor has asked public offices and is asking businesses and individuals to join in lowering their flags. President Donald Trump made a proclamation for flags to be lowered for the victims. Flags will stay at half-staff until sunset on June 4th.
A new report by the nonprofit LeapFrog Group gave most hospitals in Kentucky a C or average grade for safety. Methodist Hospital in Henderson County was one of only 9 hospitals nationwide that received a failing grade. Leah Bender is the president of the LeapFrog Group. She says about 500 people die every day in the U.S. from preventable medical errors in hospitals.
Well, Kentucky ranks 33rd in the country among states on the percentage of your hospitals that have an A. But, you know, when your family's life is at stake and you're worried about small errors that can happen in a hospital that can have terrible consequences, I don't think middle of the pack is where we all want to be.
The report rates more than 2,000 hospitals across the U.S. St. Clair Healthcare and Moorhead did not participate in the survey.
Residents of Scott County voiced complaints about the county's landfill taking in garbage from surrounding areas. In 2012, the landfill filed for expansion because of the extra intake, which was denied. Now the landfill is no longer able to maintain the trash it holds, and those that live nearby are speaking up. WKYT was at the hearing Thursday when residents voiced their complaints.
If you don't vote it down, we will vote you out. Yeah!
There are millions of tons of other people's garbage already in that landfill, and there shouldn't be any more.
Scott County Fiscal Court officials say they will take the input from Thursday's hearing as they decide what to do about the landfill.
Local and national emergency officials are conducting a series of earthquake drills in Kentucky. The Kentucky Division of Emergency Management, in partnership with Federal Emergency Management Agency and local, state, National Guard, and private sector partners, are holding Shake and Fury 2019 through June 7th. The event includes a series of tabletop, functional, and full-scale exercises to utilize a 7.7 magnitude earthquake scenario along the southwest segment of the New Madrid seismic zone near Memphis, Tennessee. State officials say the exercise will provide a controlled assessment of response and recovery capabilities to include the whole community.
The Kentucky State Parks Culinary Trail is back for a second year. A Kentucky Department of Tourism statement says the trail is being offered at 9 parks across the state, each of which is offering a signature meal representing the region where it's located. The meals are available through October 31st.
Taking a look at local sports this afternoon, the Roundwood County Vikings aren't the only 16th region team to advance in the state tournament. Ashland Blazers softball team will be facing off with Warren East in the second round of the Fast Pitch Softball State Tournament on Friday. The Kittens took down Johnson Central High School 1-0 in the first round on Saturday at Kentucky Christian University. Senior Michaela Akers spoke with MyTown TV after Saturday's win.
Being out there pitching, yeah, it makes me nervous. It's like the good kind of nerves, you know. It's adrenaline, it's the momentum, and did I want it to be 1-0? Gosh, no. I mean, I'd love another 12-0 ball game, but I mean, sometimes it's just how the way it works. Our bats weren't out there tonight, but I think we reeled it in a lot with our defense and came out there and did well.
Ashland faces Warren East Friday at the University of Kentucky's John Krupp Stadium. Game time is set for 1 p.m. We'll have a look at stocks with Bud Luke right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell amid reports that the U.S. government is planning to target a host of big tech companies with antitrust and business practice probes. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a small gain. The Dow was actually positive for the day by 4.74 at 24,819.78. The broader market was weaker. The S&P 500 dropped 7.61 at 2744.45, and the NASDAQ composite took the hardest hit, finishing with a loss of 120.13 at 7333.02. Shares of Google parent Alphabet, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple all weighed on the market today. Amazon shares fell over 5% after it was reported that an arrangement between the Federal Trade Commission and the Justice Department put the e-commerce giant under the FTC's microscope. Apple is down almost 2% after it was reported the Justice Department received jurisdiction to investigate the company's practices. Google parent Alphabet dropped over 6% after reports said the Justice Department is preparing to launch an antitrust probe on Google. And Facebook was down almost 8% after the Wall Street Journal reported that the FTC would be able to look into Facebook's practices and how they impact digital competition. In economic news today, the U.S. manufacturing activity report for the U.S. last month fell to its slowest pace of growth since October 2016, according to the Institute for Supply Management. And the St. Louis Federal Reserve President James Bullard said in a speech today that a rate cut may be warranted soon given the risks of rising trade tensions. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1.25% at $52.82 a barrel. Gold was up 1.5% at $1,330.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks actually had a pretty good day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.4%. In Asia, stocks were mixed. The Nikkei was down almost 2%, and the South Korean Kospi index was up 1.25%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Verizon and Dow, and the worst performers were Microsoft and United Health Group. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Nektar Therapeutics and Capri Holdings, and the worst performers were Centene and Facebook. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Dollar General up $1.75 at $129.03. Fifth Third Bank up 7 cents at $26.57. Delta Airlines up 59 cents at $52.09. Marathon Petroleum up $1.13 at $47.12. And Valvoline was up 27 cents to finish at $17.72. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon.
I'm Chaz Jenkins.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson. Now back to All Things Considered.